All right. Good morning and welcome to the Gareth Cliff Show. This is The Real Network live from Bulgaria. We're in a place called Prevets. Very beautiful. You can see in the background here, there's forests and mountains and lakes. And here's the lovely Jolene Roberts. Look at her. How's it, Jo?
How's it, Gareth?
Are you like her?
Very good. Thank you.
I'm very pleased. You woke up. You're the only one who woke up this morning to come and do the show with us because all of the rest of them are sleeping off terrible hangovers. Useless hangovers. Useless. And I'll tell you what, this morning we're going to brandish some sticks and go into the rooms.
We're going to find them.
What do you think of Bulgaria?
Well, it's in a time warp, yeah. I think. Where we are now is beautiful, but where we arrived was like we were stuck in this Eastern European Soviet.
Felt weird, huh?
Yeah, very.
But
very,
I mean, this was never on your list of destinations. No. I mentioned earlier when we started the show, and of course you've been on the show before. I think we've had Jonathan on, your boss.
Yeah.
And he told us about your business, which we could talk about in a second, and then the foundation. But I mean, you've been in travel for what, 20 years?
Nearly 30 years.
Nearly 30 years. Jolene knows travel like the back of her hand.
Too long.
Yeah. Okay. So Joe, by the way, someone says matching hairstyles. Nice touch.
Oh,
here's Ben.
I have a cappuccino, thanks.
Yep. Very nice coffee. So I'll tell you what, it wasn't on my list of places that I wanted to go to either, I'm actually blown away by this place.
It's unique. It's lovely. It's different.
And the people are friendly.
Very, very. They can't speak English, but they're very friendly.
Well, yeah. And because they can't speak English, they sometimes look like they're cross.
Yeah.
What did you think was so funny? Have you found Carol? No, I don't think so. All right. So what's your highlight so far of the trip?
I would say the vintage cars.
Oh, that was nice, huh?
Yeah. Russian. Very special. What's that car called that we drove in?
You were also in a Lada.
Lada, yeah.
And there were only two Ladas, but we chose the right cars.
And we felt like we were in a Russian spy movie.
Well, I'm sure there was surveillance equipment in the boot of both of those cars. It was bolted in. I don't think you could take it out. It's been there for like 40 years.
Yeah.
Since fall of wall. Perestroika, glasnost. That kind of shit. Mikhail Gorbachev.
Yeah. That's exactly what it feels like. It's a James Bond movie.
It felt like a James Bond. And then we're at this resort, which is like a James Bond movie.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, I would be surprised if James Bond jumped out of the restaurant today and said, how's it?
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Would you say that this is a place that South Africans should come to?
I don't think it's a place that a tourist that hasn't traveled extensively should come to.
In other words, that it's the kind of place off the beaten track. Mm.
I think you've got to be quite an adventurous traveler to want to come here because you need to. And, you know, it's not a main European city. So there's not the sites and it's not geared for tourists. I don't believe. So I would say if you're well traveled and you're looking for something different to do or you're into that type of thing, then this is the place. There's nothing wrong with the place. Lovely.
Yeah.
It's not geared for tourists.
I was saying to Ben, it feels to me like travel must have felt in the early 1900s to people because it wasn't a travel industry. People didn't even have holidays. Mm, mm. You know, when
you traveled because you had to be there.
When there was an actual Thomas Cook in the 1800s who started putting holiday packages together and people never did it before then. You know, we think since the dawn of time, humans have been going on holiday. Holiday is a new concept for humanity. You've only been doing this for like 100 years. And I think that this place feels to me like an undiscovered gem.
Yes.
That people would only have figured out much, much later. And the people in this country are genuinely like surprised when they see a tourist.
Yeah.
They're not going around in groups. Like if you're in Paris, for example, you can't avoid the tourists.
Yeah,
we talk about over tourism.
Totally over tourist.
You know, in places like Paris, what the hell is that?
It's a birch's muesli. You want one?
No, thank you.
Any fruit?
That looks terrible.
That looks like birdseed.
Honey?
No, this is fine. Thank
Ben's you. Eating birdseed, everybody, just so that you know.
Birdseed.
Right. Carol's going to show up wandering around in the background, says someone. Do you know her? Because that's quite possible.
Yeah, very possible.
Okay, so what?
Leopard crawling, more like showing up.
Yeah, exactly. out of all the places that you have been and all the tours that you've organized, the corporate travel that you've organized, the individuals that you've looked after over all these years, your clients, like, what are your favorite ones to put into play, and which ones are the ones that you've actually created something special where you didn't expect it to happen? Like, I think this place is pretty special, and I wouldn't have expected that.
I would say probably a special destination for me to have been to. So let me just turn that around a little bit. Not that I've organized, that I've actually physically been on.
Yeah.
Would have to be the Skeleton Coast in Namibia.
Oh.
And I've always loved Namibia, but that is just something else. I'm not somebody that enjoys big cities, and I quite like places like this. So I'd have to say the Skeleton Coast. And one other trip that Mona actually sent me on, because he didn't want to go.
Oh, yeah?
Or couldn't go. It was a couple of years back. Good couple of years back, was to Nepal, to the Himalayas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we flew up and did a scenic flight around Everest. And
That must have been exceptional.
That was exceptional. So I've done some really exceptional trips, because I choose those type of trips. You know, when they say, oh, you're going to go to London. I've done that.
Yeah. You don't need to see it 100 times.
Yeah,
correct.
But I do enjoy, and I enjoy natural beauty. I enjoy places that are naturally beautiful.
I agree with you. Tracy also agrees with you. She says, Namibia and its vastness has my heart.
Absolutely.
Same with the Kalahari and the Karoo. The desolation is what your soul sometimes needs.
And if I have to tell you that Namibia, in that Skeleton Coast, there's probably 12 different terrains. You've got the clay castles. You've got the sand dunes. You've got the sea over here. We were a press trip, so I had a chef standing on the beach fishing. Okay, nice. So as we came down the Skeleton Coast, and the whale bones, it is what it is. Eh?
Yeah.
And the loneliest grave standing there, you're walking along and here's this man cooking your fish. It doesn't really happen like that, but sure. We pretend. And we had the best fish I've ever eaten in my life. I saw desert lion. I saw desert elephant. It was spectacular. And it was not very far from here.
No.
Well, from here it is.
You didn't have to be on a plane Now this brings
Africa's
me.
Africa's got beautiful places.
This brings me to what I love asking anybody who's in travel, and we talk to Achi all the time.
Oh yes.
And we've spoken to a lot of the people at Tourvest, and now, I mean, I've got to ask you, because again, you're experienced in this regard. Like, what are your hacks for getting over like long flights, those transfers? You must have learned some tricks along the way. Especially about planes.
Yes. So take Rehydrate with you.
Okay.
Don't drink on the plane.
Don't drink on the plane. Did you hear that? No, that's useful, because people do. They get on there and then they start puzzing and it dries them up.
I promise you, you'll spoil your holiday.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't have anything to drink, but one drink is enough. Make sure you stay hydrated.
Yeah.
Is a big one. And sleep as much as you can. On an aircraft.
It's difficult in economy, you know?
It is. I'm a big person, and I just take a sleeping pill.
Really?
At the start? I get on the plane. I look at the movies. Generally, there's nothing really much to watch. Turn around, take a pill, go to sleep, and there we go. Wake up where you need to be. I mean, you can't be squishing around in the chair.
No.
It's so much easier. Just take a tablet and go to sleep. Wake up in the where you are, and away you go.
I love it. So that is useful info. And if anybody has any doubt about these things, what is this you brought us, Ben?
Lion Silver
Blood. Herbal infusion.
Yeah.
Was this tea?
It is. I mean, I'm not a shifty guy, but I always steal tea. The one thing I always take it.
Silver lime blossom tea. Look at this.
And he's stolen it.
Seriously, can I make you what I'm eating right now?
No,
it's terrible. Disgusting.
It's fucking phenomenal. It's detox protein powder, Birch's muesli, Bulgarian yogurt, honey. It's an absolute story.
All right, bring us both one. While I ask Jolene about the
one.
So listen, Joe, apart from being in the travel business, and we could talk about that. We've had your boss Jonathan on, like I said, but you and Jonathan and his wife Tracy.
Yes.
You're the central kind of pillars of the TAG Foundation, which I want to talk about for a second, because this is just one of those organizations. And thank goodness we have people who do these things all over South Africa. And They are doing such unbelievably good work with individuals that make such a difference to society. And you're involved, especially here, with some of the girls and boys who go to school in Johannesburg. You guys help these kids out. You get them everything in terms of tuition and uniforms everything. And sports equipment and whatever they need.
Extra lessons.
Just tell us how it all started and give us a little background on the TAG Foundation.
Okay, so my boss and his wife started the foundation many years ago, about 16 years ago, mm-hmm. 15 years ago, with one child. And Jonathan has always been somebody that believes you don't give somebody something for one day. You give them something to change their life mm-hmm. and that they can help themselves.
It's that old adage of you teach a man to fish and then he'll correct. Be correct. Able to live that way for the rest of his life, as opposed to just giving him a fish.
And they started the foundation, and it was quite simple in those days. They raised money. They paid for the child's tuition, for their boarding at King Edward's. And that was that for 5 years. And they looked after them.
How did they choose those kids?
They were children that were the school identified to them.
Okay.
As children that needed assistance.
Right.
In one way or another. So they needed financial assistance. They were going places, but they needed a little bit of a boost. Sometimes we help the child with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's only a 25% bursary, so we only do the bare
minimum
because that's all they need. But at the moment, from then until now, we've got 50 boys at King Edward's and 14 girls at Sparktown Girls. But there's Tracy's wife is the hero behind this whole foundation. You know, it's easy to throw money at something. Easy to say, well, he has money. She spends most of her days with Senzo, our manager of our foundation,
mm-hmm.
who is an ex-tag boy, phenomenal young man, works with us. They spend 90% of their time mentoring these boys, making sure they've got what they need, making sure that they are mentally well and all-round good people. You know, it's one thing to give somebody an education in a school.
Yeah.
But Tracy and Jonathan invite these children into their homes. They take them into social environments. They teach them how to be.
It's those soft skills, right?
Soft skills.
Like so many people are focused on a degree or on a school qualification or experience in the workplace.
No, it's just life experience.
The thing that I think trips up a lot of South Africans, particularly if they do come from disadvantaged backgrounds, is that they find themselves at a very smart dinner one night with really important
exactly
people, and they like they're not sure what cutlery to use, or
well, they feel inferior because they're not
right.
They're not used to that. Now, Jonathan and Tracy make sure that these young gentlemen and ladies are well equipped to do this. It is something that yes, we are all very passionate about. It's what we eat, sleep, breathe. Everything's about TAG Foundation.
And you're often looking for donations from people. You can't just fund this whole thing with what you guys have already got. And, I mean, it's important for people who want to make a contribution but maybe don't have the time to know that there are people who can do that stuff.
Yes, and run sometimes, it properly.
And sometimes you can give them money to help in your way.
Yeah, you can. We have an annual function every year. It's actually happening on the 17th of October this year, and that's our main fundraiser.
And people can buy tickets for that.
You can buy tickets to it. You can buy a table to it.
Right.
It's on Facebook. It's on Instagram.
Cool. And by the way, we'll share all of that info in the description. James, if you don't mind, we don't want to.
Like make you angry.
Yeah, we don't want to get you cross or anything. But if you can, we'll share that information. Yeah. I'll get it from Jolene, and you can put it on the.
And it's important that you give back. Yes, there are tax deductions for the donations that you give, for the big donations. But it's more than that. It's knowing that the money that you are giving, physically, every cent of that money goes to those children. Because none of us get paid to do what we do.
It's not like these NGOs where yes. most of it goes to staff costs.
No. There's no staff cost.
That's lovely.
It's
quite and you get hands-on involved too. I mean, yes, Jolene is literally driving around buying soccer boots and all this kind of stuff.
Helping Stenzo get what he needs.
Yeah, no, I think it's amazing what you guys do. And I'm so pleased that we got to meet you on this trip again, because I've been on one or two with you now before. But I actually met Jolene, 22 years ago or something?
A long time ago.
And she did sing a Dolly Parton song.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. You did. You had the
wig, islands in the street.
The wig, the big tits, everything. Ben has brought us this. This looks
that looks disgusting.
Revolting.
You eat that.
Look at this.
I don't care. Ben is weird.
It's not horrible.
It doesn't look lovely either.
No, it's not great.
Your face is telling last me night, a story.
Last night he had something called spinach cake. And we convinced someone at our table that there was pork cake.
God, what about the liver?
No, but when you're in a foreign country, right, you can convince people anything is going on, because they'll think, oh, well, it's local custom. Maybe they do. So there was this cake. It looked like it had a sort of gelatin thing with biscuits in it and all the rest. But I told this one girl who was at our table, I said, you want some pork cake? And she went, ugh, pork cake? Is it really? I said, yeah, you see, this is the rind.
No, man.
This is the pork rind, and then this is the, you know, that stuff that if you leave meat in a baking tray and it goes that fatty. I said, yeah, it's a bit greasy, but it's nice. She was convinced it was a pork cake. Now listen, there's someone here who wants to fight with you. Who said you've given horrible advice? Congo Krzysztofski says, that idea of yours that you shouldn't drink on the plane. He said, bullshit. I recommend at least two Bloody Marys. It prevents the airplane constipation.
Oh, well, you've got problems.
big problems.